ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continuing on the subject of fridge magnet philosophy, you may wonder why I'm discussing this at all, because as I say, it's a self-evident fact to anyone who's fortunate enough to understand it, that everything we need to know is in, for our spiritual advancement, is in Srila Prabhupada's books. So why quote all these mundane philosophers? Well, we live in a world of forgetfulness of Krishna, and various people are expert at forgetting Krishna in innumerable ways. Now, Savrishya yasya matam nabhinnam, as Yudhishthir Maharaj is recorded as having said, one cannot be thought of as a philosopher unless he has a different opinion from everyone else. So people are very busy inventing different opinions, and they're all floating around the world, and they may sound very convincing. They may have some truth in them. So in the course of our preaching, we come across so many different people with so many different ideas, and we may ourselves be influenced by them, as long as we're not firmly fixed in stito smi gata sandeha karishe vachanam tava, as long as we're not fixed in, as Arjuna said to Krishna after hearing Bhagavad Gita, nashto moha smriti labdha tvat prasadan mayachuta stito smi gata sandeha karishe vachanam tava. So Arjuna, he had so many doubts, and then he heard Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, and after hearing that, he said to Krishna that now all my doubts are cleared, my illusion is dispelled by your mercy, Krishna. Now I'm fixed in understanding, and I'm prepared to do as you order me. So as long as we're not fixed in that consciousness, we may be bewildered by different ideas that float around. Here in India, there's a fairly fixed repertoire of strange ideas that we come across. In the West is really the land of speculation, with, not that it doesn't exist here, but all kinds of different ideas coming. One thing is, they have no basis. However strange all the ideas that might come up in Hinduism, they're all derived directly or indirectly, mostly quite indirectly, from Vedas, Vedic culture. Most of what's floating around is derived and extrapolated from Shankara's Advaitavad. But in the West, it's a real free-for-all. There's no basis. It's just what comes into your mind, and then you extrapolate on that. And that actually is the basis of, that is the basis of modern philosophy, or we can say in the West, that Descartes, René Descartes, his famous saying, "I think, therefore I exist." It's a bottom-up approach. What can we know for sure? Well, I exist. I know that for sure because I'm thinking something, so I must exist. And then he builds from that. But the idea that what can we know? It's all based on our experience and our thinking, and then but the Vedic approach is very different. That is, accepting that there, or we can say the religious approach in general, That's also there in the Abrahamic religion of the Western world, that they accept that there is truth which is revealed truth, coming from a higher source. And we simply have to receive that and follow it. But basically, even the Western philosophers, many of them claim to be Christian, but they, having interwoven the Aristotle's and others' philosophical, because what happened is Jesus didn't actually really teach much of what could be called philosophy. And at some point in Christianity, they decided we need some philosophy here. We need a touch of philosophy. So they incorporate Aristotle's ideas. And Aristotle wasn't a Christian or anything vaguely resembling a Christian. But his ideas seemed to make a lot of sense to a lot of people. Therefore, he was called the philosopher for many years. It's based on what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to call mental speculation, with the idea, well, the intelligence is given by God to understand him. But there's no real basis, like I say, we refer to the Vedas. We refer to the Vedas, that's accepted as authority. And on the basis of that, we try to understand. Atato Brahma Jignyasa, yesterday I was quoting. Now we should inquire into the nature of the absolute truth. So that means exercising our intelligence, but it's not just intelligence on a free-for-all, just making the intelligence, our own intelligence, the basis of our understanding, but shastra yonit vat, what we have to understand or apply our intelligence to is that which is given in shastra, revealed knowledge. Anyway, it's a very big topic, talking about epistemology and epistemology is Western philosophical term. The nearest equivalent to that in Vedic understanding in Sanskritum is Pramana Tattva. How do we understand what is? Epistemology is about, well, how do we know anything? What's our system for knowing? How can we know? So Descartes, bottom up. I think, therefore I exist. Okay, that's something we can accept as an axiom. But actually it's self-defeating, at least if you translate it in English, because it starts off with the word I, so you already presuppose the existence of yourself before you... Because in English you have the word I think, you just can't... Although in the Latin, as in Indian languages, you don't have to say the word I. It's the word I is included in the verb, which before I learned any Indian languages, I wouldn't be able to understand that. I don't know how you say in Kerala, but in Bengali you say mone kori, I think, or chinta kori. So the word I that you doesn't come there, it's not required. Chintayami, we may say in Sanskrit, in one word. Okay, anyway, let's continue with a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was one of the American transcendentalists, who was much impressed by reading a pretty rough and unexplained translation of the Bhagavad Gita. So here he says, and this is a really American kind of quote, because you must have heard of the rugged individual is supposed to be the epitome of the American person, the rugged individual, someone who goes his own way and struggles to assert himself and doesn't just follow the crowd. So he says, Ralph Waldo Emerson, it says, to be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. So the world is always trying to make you into something. Just like when you are born, you immediately, well, as soon as the child can start to consciously interact with others, immediately the process of socialization goes on. Don't do this, don't do that, you should do this, you should do that. And send you to school with the idea. What was the idea of sending you to school? So you can end up on a farm carrying logs of wood. No, you were going to be a what? What were you doing before you joined here? Software engineer. Well, they didn't think of that because that just... When you were going to school, when you first went to school, there was no idea of being a software engineer, I don't think, because it was the software engineering explosion just happened in India. All of us, it was quite sudden, actually. So anyway, the idea was that you'd be a respectable, middle-class engineer or doctor. That's about it. Not an accountant. You ended up as an accountant. So that's the idea. They're trying to make you into something. But Ralph Waldo Emerson more or less says, be yourself. Resist all of this and be yourself. So it's not bad if you think that, well, that's what we're doing, because the whole world's trying to make us into a candidate for repeated birth and death in various ways, either as an engineer or a doctor or a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or an atheist, or a protester against the status quo. So, you don't get so many, but maybe you've seen in France over the last year or so, they have the yellow shirts, they're protesting. We don't like the government, we want to throw it out, we want to have something else. But they're either you're pro-government or anti-government, it's all our candidates for repeated birth and death. So our endeavor here in Krishna consciousness is to really be ourselves. But we have to understand who we are, actually. That Kami, who am I? Sanatana Goswami asks, who am I? To be yourself, what does it mean to be yourself? We identify with the body and the mind that we've received without our choice. Well, in some sense, our choice. Because it's dependent upon our desires in previous lives. We've received this and we identify with the present body and mind that we have. But that's not me. That's not you. Our real identity is that we're eternal spirit souls beyond anything to do with this material world. So to be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. That's a very American way of thinking also, accomplishment. You have to accomplish something. And that's really deeply entered the Indian middle class psyche, to be a success, right? The whole thing is to be a success. But what is success? Success is you get a little apartment in Bangalore and spend your whole life paying the mortgage and send your kids to a so-called good school and put them in the same treadmill so they can also be a success. Be respectable. This being respectable is a big brainwashing by which people dedicate their whole life to becoming part of a system that doesn't benefit them in any way. It's called being respectable. You have to be a success. So the greatest accomplishment, Ralph Waldo Emerson says, is to escape all that and be yourself. But the problem is he doesn't know who himself is. And that's the problem with the whole of all these philosophers. They don't know who they are. That's the first thing we should understand before they're trying to understand. When we talk about philosophy, we say philosophy, but there's a huge arena of different different topics. There's philosophy of science. And that's not talking about, for instance, bioethics. Is it ethical to clone human beings? But the philosophy of how scientists actually think. What's the mental constructs that they bring into their research? For instance, it's generally assumed or a general assumption in what's called science is accepted as an axiom that the laws of science, they're applicable in all times, all places, and all circumstances. Completely unprovable, but it's just assumed. Otherwise, you can't do science. And it's assumed that it's just assumed that there are whatever we can understand, whatever we can study, whatever we can formulate theorems about, that can be called science. And anything beyond that, metaphysics, anything spiritual, that's not science. So as far as they're concerned, it's not real. Reality is within the scope of what they can understand. And actually the whole spiritual endeavor starts at the point where we say that, no, we don't accept that everything is within the constructs of our immediate understanding. So, yeah, philosophy of law. Oh, there's so many of them. Philosophy, psychology and philosophy are very deeply mixed up, and modern psychology is very dangerous because it's very much based on an atheistic outlook and the outlook that it's unspoken, but the idea that, well, we're here in this world to live happily in this world, to be normal. To be normal means you enjoy the senses and you live happily in this world and don't harm others too much. They're very concerned that people will be normal. They can't define what it means to be normal, but they're very concerned what it is to be normal. So philosophy, yeah, first thing is to understand who we are. And then not to be victimized by what other people want us to be. Now, you may say, well, what are you talking about? Because in this whole Vedic culture or Dharmic culture, if you want to include beyond the Vedas, if you include Dharmic culture, can be said to include Buddhism, Jainism, Sikhism, because they all subscribe to the idea of Dharma. There's gurus who tell you what to do, tell you what to think. So how can you find yourself? Well, I guess it's something like psychology. They're trying to help you find your imagined self, whereas the gurus and the shastras help you to find your real self. We need some help. It's just enough humility to accept that I need some guidance. Whereas the idea of being yourself in the Western context is you don't take any advice or guidance from anyone. Because if you take advice or guidance from anyone, then it's not you. It has to come from yourself. It's a very arrogant idea, actually, that I don't need any help from anyone and I'm self-sufficient. So this more or less sums up the whole Western undertaking of philosophy. It's trying to find your own way. And even if people, they study in universities philosophy, but the whole idea is you should never really accept anything. I was mentioning some names: Kant, Hegel, Descartes. These are big figures of Western philosophy. Heidegger was mentioned. Heidegger, the Nazi, for all his philosophy, he was a Nazi officer. Still, he's quoted. the result of all his philosophy was killing Jews. So these are the big names, and people study them, but they don't accept them like just like we study Vyasadeva as an authority and as someone who actually knows. Their whole idea is that you can't know. You can't really know. So then, at the end of doing so many years of philosophy, your understanding is that, it's the same as at the beginning. It's like a mouse on a treadmill. You do a lot of work, but you never really get anywhere. And the goal is not to, when you're on a treadmill, which humans also use treadmills for exercise. And here you don't use, you just walk around the fields. There's no need for treadmills, but people, you know, you see that? They run on the treadmill like this. So the idea isn't really to go anywhere. It's just, you do it, that's all. You get some exercise or something. And the mouse, I don't think why they're doing it. So it's some kind of mental enjoyment for people. Actually, it's very important. It is very important, and to understand why, how, wherefore, all these things. And people have taken philosophies very seriously, just like the philosophy of Marx and Engels. Communism was taken very seriously by Mr. Lenin, Gospodin Lenin, and he really made in social and political terms, he must have been the most influential person of the 20th century, not Hitler. Because he actually brought in, he affected the ideas of Marx. It was very influential throughout most of the 20th century, and it's still, the influence is there. So it is very, and then philosophical questions. In America for years has been a huge divide, and it's on a philosophical issue, actually, of the question of abortion. It's religious and it's philosophical. And in America there's a lot of discussion, vegetarianism, non-vegetarianism, veganism, is on the, in terms of ethics, which is philosophy. One major argument, why should you be a vegetarian? Well, many would argue in terms of Kantian ethics. Kant was big into ethics. He wasn't a vegetarian, but he said ethically no one should be a meat eater. That's strong argument. It appears to be a strong argument. So like that. So it is there out in the world. We don't find it so much in India, actually. People don't seem to care that much. I guess it's due to just the joto mot toto pot. Whatever you do, whatever you like, it's more or less okay. Because you all end up in the same dump anyway. It's back in the cycle of birth. And the joto mot toto pot. It's true in the material existence. Whatever we think, we all end up in this. Well, there are 84 lakh different destinations, but it's all the same. Mrityu samsara. Ashradhana purushad dharmasya yasya parantapa aprapya mangnivartante mrityu samsara vatmani. Without understanding Krishna, we all end up in the world of birth and death again and again and again. Some of these are too small for me to read. Kierkegaard is another Christian of sorts. Nietzsche, very much respected and much philosopher who actually went physically mad. Physically mad, is that the right word? Clinically insane. much respected as a philosopher. Rightly or wrongly, is often seen as much of the inspiration for Nazism, with his idea of the Übermensch, the Superman. So every German was supposed to be a Superman. And if they had the one leg didn't work properly, then they're not fit to be a real German. For instance. So here's a quote. The surest way to corrupt a youth is to instruct him to hold in higher esteem those who think alike than those who think differently. So his whole idea, we can gather from this, is that it's not so much, it's not a matter of finding the truth, but the main thing is to think differently. Again, the rugged individual, whatever it is, think differently. Be different to everyone else. It's like the hippies, they wanted to be different from mainstream America. So they grew, the men grew their hair long in an era when short hair was the accepted norm, and they smoked pot, and they didn't do jobs, and they didn't want to go and fight in the war as their good uncle Sam wanted them to do. So they all wanted to be different, but they all ended up being different in the same way. And then after that, there was, I didn't see that because I'd already left Europe in England, but there was the punk rockers, and I came back to England. And it used to be that people would look at us and think we look really weird, but then after the punk rockers, we, us Hare Krishna people, look kind of normal, because they, if someone has their hair, one green spike here, one pink spike there, then a shaved patch here, and then a blue curl here, and really trying to be, but they, but again, they were all different in almost the same way. So there are limits to how different you can be. And if you really try to be too different, then you end up in a crazy house. And Nietzsche actually went crazy. So the whole idea, what is this whole thing of being different? Well, it's a expression of frustration at the way life is going on. But just to be different doesn't solve it, because you're not different. How different can you be? You still have to die. You may say, I'm different, but when it's cold, you feel the cold. When it's hot, you feel the heat. So this idea of being different, and the Übermensch, the Superman, you should be a Superman. But we're just tiny little beings, a little universe. It's all just... neglecting to find, actually to find what philosophy should be, to find the truth. Philosophia, we're told that it comes from the Greek term, love of truth. But they find truth very hard to find, because they don't know how to look. They start off with the idea, we shall find by our own endeavors. And they immediately cut themselves off from any possibility of finding the truth. Because to do that, the beginning is humility. Therefore we find in Bhagavad Gita, in the definition of knowledge, amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, kshantir, evacha. To find the truth, first of all, we have to not desire honor for ourselves, to be humble. Then another way to be humble, not to be arrogant, not to harm others. These are like the ahimsa, the yamas, which come up in the beginning of in the yoga system. You have to follow yama, niyama, all these things. It's not just that you sit down and you speculate something and you understand, but there has to be there has to be some initial purification of consciousness, because if we're like an animal, ahara nidra bhaya maitun, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, trying to make oneself bigger and stronger than others and thinking I'm very great, then we can't even begin to we can't even begin to access the higher philosophy. It'll always remain elusive to us. Things like kshanti, that's being different. To tolerate this world and all the difficulties within it, rather than trying to adjust it this way, that way, and the other way. Of course, these are very big topics, and that's the whole topic of this fridge magnet philosophy thing, that just don't think we can understand just by a few words, we can understand everything. This is a philosophical, the next one is a philosophical joke. Is it solipsistic in here, or is it just me? You have to know what solipsism is to get the joke. Solipsism is the idea that, I guess that can be expanded from Descartes, I think, therefore I exist. But I don't know if you exist. The only thing I can be sure of is what I think, so that's it. Reality is me, me, and me. So is it solipsistic in here, or is it just me? It's a philosopher's joke. Here's another philosopher's joke. Descartes' famous saying, I think, therefore I exist. You know this joke? Okay, so Descartes goes into the cafe, and this is based on the English language. It wouldn't work in his native French or in the Latin in which he came up with his idea that I think, therefore I exist. Okay, so he orders a cup of coffee, drinks it, and then the waiter says, do you want another one? And he says, I think not. And he vanished. Because he says, I think, therefore I exist. So I think not, and then he ceases to exist. It's a philosophical, harmless little joke. Here's a good one. Being a good philosopher is 3% talent, 97% not being distracted by the internet. That's another good philosopher's joke. But it's not just a joke. I mean, if you really want to do philosophy, you've got to get out your thinking cap and do some hard work. It's not just a matter of saying slogans, little bits and slogans picking up here and there. It's study, understanding, all the intricacies of all these things. Of course, you can get some philosophical discussions on the internet. Yes. And it's a huge, huge arena of topics. And some of the philosophers, they wrote in such language that it'd be very difficult to understand. And then some of the great philosophers of the 20th century, Bertrand Russell, followers of him think that, well, by mathematics, we got logic, and then there's no need of philosophy anymore. But you have to be... You have to be intelligent and apply yourself to understand it all. Of course, what we're studying, the Vedic philosophy, the basic tenets are very simple to understand. Who am I? I am not this body. I'm an eternal living being. I am meant to be eternal, but I am getting born and dying again and again and again. Because I don't recognize that I am not this body and I'm not meant for enjoying this body. So that any Vedanta philosopher will accept, Mayavadi or Vaishnava. The difference is that we accept that we are the eternal servants of the supremely powerful and blissful. Here's an interesting observation from Nietzsche, another. If you want, you can order it and you can get it not at $6.49, which is struck out, but only $4.95. You see, it's a steal. You can get philosophy for only $4.95. You can become a philosopher. Or if you like, you can get it free by looking at it on the internet. Well, you have to pay for your internet connection and your device. Anyway, another thought from Nietzsche. Those who were seen dancing were thought to be insane by those who could not hear the music. Got that one? If you can't hear the music and you see people dancing, you think they're insane. Interesting observation. Doesn't help us to solve the problems of birth, death, old age, and disease, but it's an interesting observation. Here's one from Immanuel Kant. We can judge the heart of a man by his treatment of animals. Yeah, that's from Kant, who was also not a vegetarian. You see, he had his categorical imperatives, but it didn't make him a vegetarian. Here's an interesting one, just three words. It's another a philosopher's joke. Plato's cave alumni. You have to know Plato's cave for that one. Okay, Plato's cave. Plato imagines, it's a thought experiment, that people are sitting in a cave, which is dark, with their backs to the entrance, and all they can see, they're tied up, and all they can see is the flickering shadows on the wall in front of them. And that's all they've known all their life. And they think that is all that exists of reality. So someone comes, or someone escapes and then comes back and tells them, actually, there's a whole world out there. So it's something like we have the doctor frog, the frog in the well, Kupamandu Kanyai. The frog in the well thinks that, well, the well is all that this compromises or comprises all of existence. So Plato's cave. So Plato's cave alumni, it means someone who's become, we've escaped from that, and now we know the big, big world outside. The Illuminati, you might say, if that wasn't a bad word. Here's another interesting one from Plato. Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Interesting thought. Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Yeah, but kindness means to give them the knowledge by which they can come out of that hard battle, not just being nice superficially. Mark Twain. The human race has one really effective weapon, and that is laughter. Okay, so next time you get attacked by some terrorists, just start laughing. Great philosophy, yeah? We can tell the Indian army up on the border with Pakistan, no need of all these guns, just laugh. And Pakistanis will laugh at you and kill you some of these ideas could be dangerous if they're actually instituted. Just like Mahatma Gandhi's idea of non-violence, it was actually very dangerous. And being his idea of being kind and fair, it ended up with, be fair to the Pakistanis, give them their share of weapons. And the result was that thousands of people had to die because he was being fair and nice. So this idea that, what was that we just read? Be kind. Yeah, but to discriminate also. Just not indiscriminate kindness. From Dalai Lama, I guess that means the 14th Dalai Lama, the present one. They just say Dalai Lama, but there have been others before him. And after him, we don't know. He says, remember that not getting what you want is sometimes a wonderful stroke of luck. A lot of assumptions in there. So what does it mean, a stroke of luck? Not getting what you want is sometimes a wonderful stroke of luck. Okay. interesting thought. Still doesn't help us get free from birth, death, old age, and disease. This is the thing. We have to keep on hammering on this point. We're in this world, we're suffering. All this philosophy. Different ideas. Categorical imperative. Ethics. Be good, be kind, be nice. Wait a minute, we're all going to die. You're on a ship, it's sinking. And, let's talk. What is that? Svataparatavad. Yeah, is it by our own independent volition that things happen, or is it by outside forces? And in the meantime, the ship's sinking. So therefore you have in American philosophy, American pragmatism, what works is real. But again, what works? It may work. Yes, it worked. I worked hard and I became rich. And the same thing, birth, death, old age, and disease. Okay, here's one of the, as far as I can understand from my dabbling in Western philosophy, is one of the two most famous sayings in Western philosophy. One I've said several times in this little session. One is, I think, therefore I exist. And the other is from Socrates, the unexamined life is not worth living. Okay. Unless you examine your, in other words, unless you're a philosopher, what's the use of your life? And then Marxist philosophers, people who derive their way of thinking from Marx, will say, well, that's only for the privileged people, the working people. They don't have time to think about all this kind of thing. The workers, we're for the workers. Most of the people who are socialist politicians and talk about the workers, they never did a day's work in their life. They just talk and about the workers, and they organize riots and this and that. For the people. We are for the people. Animal Farm. So the unexamined work life is not worth living. Yeah? We have similar things, don't we? Ayo Harati Vaipungsan Udyana Stan Chayana So Tasyate Yakshano Nita Uttama Shloka Varate. No, well, that's in terms of praising Krishna, who doesn't do that. Simply their life is passing away day by day without any meaning. So unexamined, yeah, that means searching for the truth actually unexamined, I mean we should see how are we living, but then why are we living? What are we living for? What is the goal of our life? So this great saying of the Western philosophy, it doesn't even reach to none of these. I started off this session by discussing this from Emerson. What did I say? What was that, Emerson? To be yourself. But they don't know the ABC of who we are. Vedic philosophy, the very beginning of Vedic philosophy is to understand the difference between the soul and the body, but they don't even understand that. They don't understand the ABC. So, for all they examine, should it be like this, should it be like that? But they, without understanding the ABC, it's like giving a typewriters to a monkeys. They can type out so many things. That's one of the great atheist, one of the tremendously convincing arguments for biological evolution. That if you put enough monkeys in a room with enough typewriters and enough paper, and they jump all over the typewriters, eventually they'll type out all of Shakespeare's works. Fabulous argument. Of course, you'd have to put the monkeys in there and build the typewriters, which don't happen by evolution. And how many zillions of monkeys would you have to have? And unendings, you'd have to have someone supply the ink in the typewriter. So it's not just happening by chance. And the monkeys would have had to evolve in the first place. So there's so many mistakes in all the things people say. Here's one from the compiler of the Devil's Dictionary called Ambrose Bierce. He says, all are lunatics, but he who can analyze his delusions is called a philosopher. So he made this Devil's Dictionary in which he's poking at everyone and everything. All are lunatics, but he who can analyze his delusion is called a philosopher. Okay, if all are lunatics, then you're a lunatic too. So why should we take seriously what you say? But it does give some idea also, because practically what these philosophers are doing, they're analyzing their delusions. But then Ambrose Bierce, he also doesn't know what the truth is, what actual reality is. And it goes on and on. Yeah, there must be thousands of things like this. What else have we got? Another. Ralph Waldo Emerson. The purpose of life is not to be happy. I actually heard Prabhupada personally say, when he was asked by Mike Robinson of the London Broadcasting Corporation, some small radio station which called itself the London Broadcasting Corporation, which made it sound very grand, something like the British Broadcasting Corporation, or some little company. So he asked Prabhupada, what is the meaning of life? And Prabhupada said, to enjoy, which I was surprised to hear. But actually, it's a fact. Everyone's looking for happiness. So Ralph Waldo Emerson says, the purpose of life is not to be happy. It is to be useful. Wait a minute, Mr. Emerson. Wait a minute. What do you mean by being useful? That means that you already understand what the purpose of life is and what can be done to attain it. But it's just some vague idea of being useful. What does it mean that you know how to change a tire on a car when you get a puncture? That's being useful. Kind of useful, yeah. What does he mean by being useful? The purpose of life is to change car tires, or the purpose of life is to do some practical work. And what does it mean? It's all very vague. To be honorable, and then again, honorable. Again, giving the example of Nazi Germany. It is an honorable in Nazi Germany to go around and kill people, non-Germans. Germans are going to hate me for always using these examples. To be compassionate. Again, what do you mean by compassion? These are all just terms which are thrown out without any definition. What does it mean to be compassionate? Again, that abortion debate in America, both sides take the compassion. How can you kill a human that's in the womb? It's not compassionate. And the other will say, well, if you allow them to be born, then they'll have a rotten life, so it's compassionate to kill them before they get born. And what about the poor mother? If she doesn't want the child, then it's not being compassionate on her. So it's all very vague terms. It sounds good. Be nice. Be kind. But without understanding reality as it is, then without a clear frame of reference, then the word compassionate can be used for completely opposite things, pro-abortion, anti-abortion. The purpose of life is to be compassionate, to have it make some difference that you have lived and lived well. Make some difference. What difference? It's birth, death, old age, and disease. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Lived well. What does lived well mean? Vague, all very vague. How much more of this is Ash. The only person you are destined to become is the person you decide to be. One of those forerunners of the personality development. Believe in yourself. The only The only person you're destined to become is the person you decide to be. Okay, what if someone who's a fully grown man, but he only grew to be 5'3" tall, and he wants to be the world's greatest basketball player? It's going to work? No. Because to be the world's basketball player, it starts at 6'3", not 5'3", no hope. Unless you have midget basketball. I never, maybe they haven't. So it's not going to work. Well, I want to be the world boxing champion.
Yeah,
sure. boxers, they wouldn't even see. I wouldn't even qualify for the welterweight. They wouldn't even look at you. So you realize your limitations. Of course, it is true in one sense, because if you what we do, that makes our future. But it's true, but not in the way that he meant it. Because if we want to be, according to our desire, we get our different bodies. Shariram yadavapnoti yat, what is it? Shariram yadavapnoti yat. Kramatishvaraha grihit vaitani sangyati vayoriva vayoriva ivambasa. So I didn't quite get that right. Yachchapyut kramatishvaraha. We carry the conceptions of our life. Our consciousness transfers us from one body to another. So if we have a desire, I want to be the world basketball champion, well, maybe you will be in another life, but not in this life. Maybe you will be, but then maybe you'll just be a giraffe. It's not in our hands. The idea, you can be all that you can be, but that's only one factor. We are tiny living beings. We are controlled. You see, one thing we can get from all these different philosophical messages, it's all about you and your own philosophy, your own thoughts, but the beginning of philosophy is to understand I'm a tiny living being in a vast universe. I don't know where I am, who I am, what I'm doing, where I'm going. To admit our tininess and take some help. But all these things, self-actualization, let me become so big. And jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. Giving up the idea, the philosophy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted as giving up the idea that I will understand everything by my own great brain power, which we also don't know where that came from, and which could be terminated or seriously impaired at any moment. For instance, if you're in a motorcycle accident, just give up all this arrogance and just be a little humble, that's all. So it might sound very arrogant the way I'm talking and deriding all these philosophers, but they're misleading people. Don't be misled. Winston Churchill, success is not final, failure is not fatal, it is the courage to continue that counts. Success is not final. There's no meaning of success in this material world. Faith is the courage to continue that counts. Well, it worked out for him. Hitler might have said the same thing, but he lost the war. Here's a philosopher's joke. I won't read it. You won't get it anyway. Well, there's a saying. I don't know where it came from, but there's a, oh God, and I'm going to say it. Oh God, give me the courage to change the things that I can, the patience to tolerate the things that I can't change, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, that's nice. Okay, so someone's changed that to grant me the coffee to change the things I can, and the wine to accept the things that I cannot. It's a joke. Mark Twain, Whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it's time to pause and reflect. Well, if you're in the right majority, it's, the whole thing is, again, finding out the actual truth. I doubt, therefore I might be. A play on Descartes. I think, therefore I exist. What lies behind you and what lies in front of you pales in comparison to what lies inside of you. More of this, you are great idea, whereas we're not actually that great. Quote, supposed to be Buddha, what we think we become. Okay, Buddha stole that from the Vedic knowledge. Do not, and another of this Ralph Waldo Emerson, the thing of making yourself great. Do not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. Again, do something different. Be it, make your mark in the world. Yeah, someone may make their, they've got diarrhea and they walk and they leave a trail of. What's the. And it goes on and on and on and on, all these things. Dalai Lama, this is my simple religion. There is no need for temples, no need for complicated philosophy. Our own brain, our own heart is our temple. The philosophy is kindness. Again, our own brain. No need of temples, no need to worship God. It's our own brain. Who gave you a brain? Where did you get the brain? The philosophy is kindness. Another hypocrite, because the Dalai Lama is a big meat eater. And it goes on. So the pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity. The optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. Blah, 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 blah. Voltaire, who was Voltaire, who was actually one of the few great Western philosophers, who was actually a vegetarian. Not that being a vegetarian is the goal of life, but it's not a bad start. Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. Well, practically that's the whole of material existence. We believe the absurdity that we're here to enjoy, and therefore the whole material existence is one big atrocity. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. At the end of it, just have a kirtan. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Whew. So many mental speculations. All people. Pandemonium. So many different things to say. One quote from Umapati Swami. I've quoted it many times. It's a great quote. I'll go on quoting it. He was hippie type in New York in mid-1960s. And people are really, many hippies, they're really into Eastern philosophy and reading about Buddhism. So he'd been studying Buddhism. Studying means they get a book, they smoke some hashish, they discuss it with their friends while they're under the influence of hashish. That's called studying in hippie jargon. So he'd been studying Buddhism, and what they learned in Buddhism is that you can't say that it is, and you can't say that it is not. And you can't say that it both is and it is not. And you can't say that it either is or it is not. And you can't say that it neither is and is not. Okay. Then Prabhupada came and Prabhupada said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Umapati said, that was the most intelligent thing I ever heard in my life. Just makes sense. You can't say it is. First of all, you have to define what do you mean by it and you? But you can't do that because you're not allowed to. Buddhism has to use so many words to construct their ideas, but that's it, that's voidism. There's really nothing there. You can't, it's completely inconceivable. You can't say it is, you can't say it's not, you can't say it both is and is not, you can't say it neither is or is not. And there's absolutely nothing that can fit those criteria. But reality is not nothing. And according to them, of course, there is no reality. But you have to describe it in words. It's not actually in words. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All glory to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Any comments? Questions? Thank you for not throwing me in the river. It's hard to drown in that. It is possible, but someone held your head down. You could drown in it, but otherwise, normally you wouldn't drown. I almost felt like jumping in. I feel I gotta go and take a bath in the Ganga after discussing all these different things. Yeah.
So unless we present the Vedic question, it is impossible to bring these scholars to some level of understanding.
Philosophy is very difficult to convince them unless they accept. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to convince Savabhan Bhattacharya on the basis of acceptance of the Vedic authority. But unless they accept that, then you just go, there's no basis. And they have no qualms in changing their position on the spot. They'll just change. If you defeat it, and they just change to something else. They say, and they don't find anything wrong in that, because for them it's just what they think is the most important thing. So hammer home the reality. We're suffering. We are suffering. You can talk so many things, but the fact is that we are suffering. Everyone in this world is suffering. Why? Can we go beyond this? Then we can have some really serious discussion. Otherwise, most people who discuss philosophy, it's just that they want to show off their intelligence, or they want to show that they can defeat you.
This pleasure in this intellect, it might be there in the past also, because Yudhishthira Maharaj has quoted about matas of sadhana.
It's always there. It's not just at the present time. There are always people who are trying to show off their intelligence. I'm so great. I'm so intelligent. It's always there.
And within Vedic scheme also, again, they use this different dubious ways of debating
the terms. Yeah, that's there. That's analyzed in detail in Nyai, how people, fallacious ways of arguing. That Vitanda, you're not really trying to find out the truth, you're just trying to defeat the opponent by any means possible, and all kinds of devious means. And words are there, in English also, bringing out a red herring, which means diverting the attention to something which is not really the topic, or filibustering, just going on talking and talking and talking so you wear the other person out, or straw man argument. You make an argument which is based on a false premise, ad hominem arguments, that you just say, You're just nasty to the person and make them all names, or appeal to authority. That we accept, appeal to authority, but they don't. But they say, well, everyone knows that, or Winston Churchill said that, what did he say? Give me a cigar. We shall fight in the dales and in the forests. We shall fight in the day and the night. Yeah, appealing to an authority, but then where does he get his authority from? So there are, in Western philosophy, they've also analyzed this, the different philosophical traps, circular reasoning. You state what the case that you're trying to prove, you state it as proof. What's an example of circular reasoning? I must be right because I'm always right. You're trying to prove the point that you're right by saying that I'm always right. So that's circular reasoning.
Technology is used to prove science is right.
Technology is proved to show that science is right. That's not exactly the same thing. That's more like a red herring, because it's not. But you can't really say that science is right, because science is just a system of analyzing the world, examining the world. So to say that science is right is, it's a non sequitur. That's another. It's a statement on a false premise. It's meaningless, actually, to say. Just like we say, is this pen right or wrong? You could say, is it good or bad? It means, does it perform its function properly? To write, you could say, it's a good pen, it writes well. Or it's a bad pen, it doesn't write very well. But you can't say it's a right pen or a wrong pen. So in the same way, and again, philosophers might argue about that. They may say, well, science is good because it's done so many good things for the world. So in that sense, it could be argued. When others may say, no, it's bad because I've done so many bad things for the world. But in and of itself, it's neither good or bad. It could be said to be the application of it is good or bad. But just even the whole endeavor to, the whole scientific endeavor, is it beneficial or not? And he goes on and on and on and on. And then Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarva Miti Samahatma Sadurlabha. When you get fed up of philosophy, then surrender to Krishna. It might take many lifetimes.
Then in that case, in our Krishna consciousness, because it has always been the history that there will always be these philosophers who have these ideas and all that.
There'll always be so many philosophers with so many ideas, yes.
So in our Krishna conscious movement, how practically it will happen that all people, we are looking at a...
How will it practically that all people will be Krishna conscious?
We are looking at a great future of golden age where all will have the right...
No, well, Prabhupada, he said that we can't expect everyone to take to it. Many people may take. And they may take at different levels. Just like when we hold Rathiatra, so many people attend. But so they're taking to Krishna consciousness at some level. It doesn't mean that they're fully committed or surrendered. But everyone gets the chance to hear the holy names. Philosophically, they may not all accept. I remember in Belgaum, when I was there once in the Rathiatra, there were some Muslim women. We knew they were Muslim because they were wearing burqas. They were walking along for quite some time in the parade. In Mathura also, I remember that. Of course, in Baroda, at two places along the route, we go through Muslim areas. At two places, we stop for the local Muslim leaders to come and garland Jagannath. So that's nice. But it doesn't mean that they accepted Krishna consciousness fully. They're still Muslim. There is a lot of work to do in philosophy, that's true. Prabhupada was very interested to meet the thoughtful people of society. In the preface to the Bhagavatam, which he wrote in Vrindavan with the aim of going to the West, I'm hopeful that if the thoughtful people of the world accept this, he said that. That's right in the preface. So it's clear that Prabhupada expected to go and meet the most thoughtful and intellectual people, and he didn't get that. He got hippies who were actually thoughtful in some ways, but not definitely not the class of people that Prabhupada was aiming at. He had the idea, but then he very much liked it, just like a Bhaktivedanta Manor, Shama Sundar Prabhu organized for Prabhupada practically every day. Some leading person of society would come to meet Prabhupada, and there was Lord Brockway was there, a lord, publisher, thoughtful person, vegetarian, born in India. There's so many, I can't remember. And of course, George Harrison came to meet him, who was a very influential person. Donovan, Graham Hill, the racing driver. There were Alistair Hardy. A lot of... The names I just mentioned were, at least at that time, well-known people in British society, and so influential people. So Prabhupada was interested to meet them and influence them, and he preached to them. In Australia, also in Melbourne, when he got those quarters and they were inviting people to come, and Prabhupada met Bishop Kelly of the Catholic bishop, who was very appreciative of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was very appreciative of the appreciativeness of Bishop Kelly. Then lawyers like this, and people from the government. Oh, in Los Angeles also, yeah. There was Stilson Judah and others. There was that. We find in that Consciousness the Missing Link, Gregory Benford, a physicist. So Prabhupada, he made a point to meet with intellectuals and thought leaders and preach to them, present Krishna consciousness to them. And even in the book distribution was going on in massive book distribution, but Prabhupada said that in one letter he wrote, you have not reached the intellectual crowd yet. You have to get books out to the intellect. He was intellectual group. He was specifically interested that the books go in colleges, that thoughtful people should read his books. So Prabhupada, he was very philosophical. And he conducted a series of interviews first with Hayagriva and then later with Shama Sundar, discussing the basic ideas of the Western philosophers with the idea of compiling it into a book. And it was compiled into a book called Dialectic Spiritualism, and then it was redone as, what was the name of the book? Beyond Illusion and Doubt, yeah. It was the philosophers were presented very simplistically. No doubt. But, some of their philosophies are very complex because it's the world of ideas. What is right and what is wrong, it's very difficult to ascertain. Jeremy Bentham came up with the idea, utilitarianism, the greatest good for the greatest number of people. Right? Sounds great, huh? The greatest good, everyone should act for the greatest good for the greatest number of people. Well, maybe that justifies Hitler's destroying the Jews. The greatest good for the greatest number of people. Something went wrong there with that idea, right? Something went seriously wrong. This, a natural corollary of the idea of Darwinism, that we're all products of natural selection and the survival of the fittest. What came out of that was social Darwinism, otherwise known as eugenics. And the idea is that, we breed pigs, and we breed dogs, and we breed cattle, and we breed pigeons. So we get the best, we get pigs, Berkshire pigs, or Hereford cattle. So they're suitable for a certain purpose. Hereford cattle, they're bred they're specifically good as beef cattle. And Berkshire pigs also for eating, and they're different breeds. You can breed different chickens, fighting cocks. And or for dogs, there are guide dogs and collie dogs, which round up the cattle and the sheep. And there are the guide dogs for the blind. And there are poodles, which are nice for nice pets for women and effeminate men. And there are Rottweilers, which if you really want to have your home protected, they might kill you also. They're all different breeds of dogs. So the idea is that, well, we breed different animals to bring out the best characteristics in them. So why don't we breed humans also? Control it and breed, and then the humans who have got either mentally weak or physically weak, just cut them out. Makes sense, right? It was accepted in the United States of America. They had the idea that criminals, someone with a criminal record, sterilize them. They're not allowed to have children. It was in many states of America. And actually Hitler got his ideas of the final solution, killing the Jews and the homosexuals and gypsies. It was much inspired by American eugenics. So it follows, okay, for the best interests of the human race, we're going to kill you. The human race means we're the Germans, we're the strongest, we're the best, and the others should be suppressed. That's right. The survival of the fittest, that's the natural law. So ideas have consequences. And then eugenics became highly out of fashion after the defeat of the Nazis. But actually, if you take Darwinism at face value, it makes sense. And even Richard Dawkins, he's getting a bit old. You don't hear much about him now, but he was making a case for that. He said, well, why not? He was, again, trying to bring it up. On the other hand, you have the cultural Marxism, with the idea that, well, everyone's equal, right? So there's no men and women, they're all the same. If you're born as a boy but actually want to be a woman, you can be a woman by operation. And no hierarchy. And anyone who's at the lowest level in society, it means someone's discriminating against him. So the Western people have dominated the world for so many years, and it's the men. So white men are the worst scum of the earth. They're the cause of all that. You know that from Australia, right? That philosophy is there taught in the schools and university. White men, they're all potential rapists and all kinds of strange ideas come up. So we should be concerned with philosophy. There's a lot of very bad ideas going around, actually very bad and very destructive to society. And destructive to the whole purpose of life. So although it is a headache to deal with all these things, we should do. We have many things to do. Setting up farms is one thing. We don't think of farms as places of big philosophy, but you're all here because of philosophy, right? You're not here because of rice and millet, per se, which you're growing. But you're here because of philosophy. You are living here and growing rice and millet. Actually, it's Krishna who grows it. But because of philosophy, because you've understood that the purpose of life is not to be a cog in the corporate machine, but to understand God. And this way of life is better for that. We have to be so careful, and we have to go on discussing philosophy, otherwise we won't stick to this. We think, why am I doing this for? I can live in this city. Why am I doing like this? We have to go on discussing philosophy. We have to be very careful. I was just directed to one report of a Mennonite community in Bolivia, which is a religious community which believes in simple living and their version of Christianity. And there's been a rape scandal within their community, which they don't want to talk about, but some of the men got convicted. So be very careful. You have to be very, very careful. Because for all high ideals, lust is always there. Indriyani parani ahur, indriyebhya parang manasastu bharabuddha, yobuddha paratastu saha. There's the senses. Beyond that, indriyani parani ahur, indriyebhya, beyond that is the mind, beyond that is the intelligence, and beyond that is that, right? Saha. Beyond that is that. Saha means he or it or that. So what is that? Baladev Vidyabhushan, Prabhupada following Baladev Vidyabhushan says the Atma, okay, that's one. But then Ramanuja takes to be lust. Lust is higher, it's more powerful. And these are the sitting place, Adishtanam, these are the places where the lust sits. So it's very, very dangerous. We shouldn't think that just by coming here, everything will be perfect. Always have to be very, very careful. That's why also it's not just living on the land in China, Hare Krishna, Varnashram, so many rules are there. Rules to channel, because we have all these desires and we just want to, the channel by desires, it just takes us, one desire takes us to this body, another desire. Why are there so many bodies? We had this desire. Okay, in a future life you can have this body, then another body, and we have so many desires. But we want to just channel all those desires, just like in a tube. Bring them all, and then Bhaja Hure Mana Sri Nanda Nanda, channel it all to the lotus feet of Krishna. But because we have so many wild desires, therefore we require rules to discipline and order our lives. It's very, very dangerous also all over the world in our ISKCON movement, how this idea, just chant Hare Krishna. And you don't want rules, or they want to revise the whole understanding that men and women, it's all the same, and soul, we're the same, but right now we're not on that platform. There have to be rules. Otherwise, very dangerous. Very dangerous situation. We're always in danger in this material world. We're coming here, one reason we were far away from Maya's attack. That's true in many ways, but Maya is here also. So therefore also we need plenty of hearing and chanting about Krishna. It's a great challenge, these farm communities. So my great gratitude to all of you for taking this up. At least in this lifetime I could see the beginnings of these communities. Oh. Looking for some fish to eat, yeah? In English it's called kingfisher. No, Robin is completely different. The kingfisher in England, they have them also, and they're even brighter blue than this one. They're very, very bright blue, dazzlingly bright blue. One of the few among the living beings in England, the fauna in England, is one of them which is quite spectacular, is the kingfisher, dazzling blue. Whereas in Australia, you get all kinds of, not in the city in Melbourne, but if you get in the outback, there are all kinds of really amazing animals and birds. And Australia is, from the point of view of flora and fauna, it's quite an amazing place. But don't get too fascinated by it, because they're all part of the 84 like species of life. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukaro na vayang vichara yamaha hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama dante nidhaya chunakam padayane patya kritva chakakushatameta dahambravimi hey sadhava sakalam eva vihaya durad chaitanya chanda charane kurutanu radham vancha kalpaturubhyas chakipas indubhyavacha paditanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.